Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
Hi.
Hello and welcome to, I guess we did go to Annandale, edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. As we put a bow in the 2023 Alabama football season, we're going to modify our format just a little bit. The season is done, the roster and even coaching staffs already aren't the same. And the next game, well, it's almost 9 months away, so we can afford to mix it up a little bit. Let's hit some highlights and wrap with a measure of context. Offense, you're up. Alabama offense in the Rose Bowl was a Rube Goldberg machine of self-inflicted harm, a masochist's self-delight. Missed blocks, fumble, low snaps, sacks. Alabama gave away sacks like it was a food bank. Coach was spot on. Take nothing away from Michigan. They played a really good game. But we, Alabama, could have done things better too. The trick is that Alabama never could get things going. Four of the Tide's first five possessions were three and outs, featuring four of Michigan's six sacks. 16 plays were run through most of the first half by Alabama. Only 16 plays. The offense allowed itself no leg room to get things going. Milroe's longest pass in the first 26 minutes of play was an 11-yarder to C.J. Dupree, but that came after an 8-yard loss on a sack, and so it wasn't enough to achieve a first down. And so Alabama still punted three and out. Fortunately, the Tide, or Jace McClellan, capitalized on a Michigan muffed punt, where he scampered for 34 yards for a touchdown, itself following a low snap. Alabama did muster a 10-play drive before half to pull within three, but even this was a well-made pig of a drive, featuring two incompletions, a penalty, and a sack, requiring a 50-yard field goal attempt. Thanks, Will Reichert, for making that. Alabama's second half had more promise, but stuck to a theme. Fumbles, snaps, turnovers, and sacks. As plainly as I can say it, on this day, Alabama went to Hollywood, cast in the role of Sisyphus, and played it well. But it wasn't all bad. Milroe is still one of the best athletes playing anytime he takes the field. Isaiah Bond is emerging into a true number one wide receiver. And Justice Haynes carried the ball only four times, but in my opinion, he influenced the transfer portal. All right, let's flip the field and talk defense. Alabama defense was good, but not good enough when it mattered most. Alabama held Michigan to 2 of 11 on third downs, but allowed 2 of 2 on fourth downs. Alabama's defense was generally confused by motion and misdirection all night. It was a phenomenal game plan, offensive and defensively, for the Michigan Wolverines. Foreshadowing the defense's performance, perhaps, was Caleb's interception, first play of the game, being ruled out of bounds. And hey, look, that was the right call. I'm not arguing the call. He did step out of bounds, only just slightly, but out of bounds is out of bounds. And he touched the ball before he reestablished himself in bounds. And so he was an out-of-bounds player. I'm not arguing that. But that was the very first play from scrimmage from Michigan. How motivating is that to the Alabama defense? How deflating is that for Michigan if that's a legitimate catch? And then Alabama goes to punch that in into the end zone. The narrative of that game, that's the game Alabama fans wanted to see. The fact that Michigan was able to exhale, hey, we got that out of our system, we're all good, we're going to live to fight another day, we're not falling behind to start the game in that regard. I think that gave Michigan a little bit of confidence to stick with a plan, and they did that quite well over the course of the rest of the ballgame. On defense, there were good things too, just like offense. Deontay Lawson almost blocked the pass that would have sealed the game. It came on Michigan's scoring, tie-scoring drive late in the game, and Deontay jumped, and it looked like maybe he missed the ball, but he barely touched the ball, grazed it with just the nub of his finger. And he didn't change the trajectory of the ball so much as he just barely influenced the altitude of the ball. The ball still went directly to its target. It was just a little bit higher than it would have been. It was still within the receiver's catch radius, just at the far reaches of it, and the receiver was able to pull it down. It would have been an easier catch had Lawson not touched the ball, but it was still catchable, and it was still caught by the defender. If Lawson had taken a dump at halftime, he would have gotten that extra tenth of an inch to knock the ball out of the realms of catchability, to knock that ball, essentially batting it incomplete. We can talk about the fourth down, and we can talk about the overtime, and we can talk about a lot of things, but the metric that of how close that game really was probably about a tenth of an inch, maybe a quarter of an inch in vertical from Deontay, that knocking that ball away. He read it right and played it right, just didn't get quite enough hops to get up there and bat that ball away. Other good things that happened for the Alabama defense, Caleb Downs is just a player. Next season, he'll be the best defender for either team. Regardless whoever Alabama's playing, Caleb Downs will be the best defender on the field that day. To think that he'll only be a sophomore and that Alabama has him for two more seasons is phenomenal. Minka Fitzpatrick comparisons are what have already been bantered about, and I think he is on a trajectory similar to that. He's a bigger body player than Minka, but I think he brings a lot to the equation and is capable of making plays all over the field. So it'll be incredible as he gets another year in the system and coaches will start to use him, specifically use him as tools and weapons rather than just working overtime with him just to get him up to speed. He's going to be more dynamic in what he can bring to the Alabama defense. And Tim Keenan, talk about an old-school, big-bodied, interior defensive lineman. That's Tim Keenan. Talk about a player who you can't see his contribution unless you're just watching him play after play, snap after snap. Tim Keenan is recovering from pretty egregious injury, gruesome injury his senior year in high school, and he has progressed steadily as this season has gone on. He's going to come back with more health and more confidence in the 2024 season. I think Tim Keenan's going to be a key player for Alabama this next season. All right, let's talk special teams like we do. And the short story here is Alabama special teams had a championship-winning performance. There's no two ways about it. Offense and defense didn't ring their bells, but special teams absolutely did. Will Reichert hit two, not one, but two 50-yard field goals, both in critical moments, both with pressure on to keep Alabama competitive in the game, in the game, to keep the margin within reach. And so Will Reichert had hit himself a phenomenal day. And if you're looking for a singular hero, despite the loss, you're looking for a singular hero for the Alabama Crimson Tide squad, it looked no further than James Burnup, the Aussie. He had seven punts. He averaged just over 50 yards per punt, so he did hit that promised land. And he went down with what looked to be an apparent injury, potentially a significant injury earlier in the game. That should have been called. It wasn't. We're not going to we're not going to obsess over that. That should have been called. It wouldn't. That would have led to Alabama first down, continuing to move the ball. We talk about Alabama being forced off the field, not having an opportunity for their offense to sort of get their legs under them. That could have contributed there. Again, I've already spent more words on that than I want to because we're not sour grapeing this. What we're doing is we're saying James Burnham, after what looked like may have knocked him out of the game, he came back and continued to have a career day. So hazard pay and overtime with that apparent injury and seven punts is what Burnup, I think, should talk to his HR rep about. And the fact that he averaged just over 50 yards across those seven punts is phenomenal. Caleb Downs, we've already mentioned his name again. We're going to mention his name a lot as we continue forward. He had a possession-saving punt recovery. Caleb was back fielding punts, and the ball bounced, and he was going to let it bounce, and he was trying to get people away, but Antonio Kite was just right there near the ball, and so the ball sort of flicked up, hit him in the heel, and Caleb noticed that and jumped down, corralled the ball, saving the possession for Alabama. And speaking of punts and fumbles and balls hitting and possession, Quandarius Robinson, he had a punt recovery where the Michigan defender went to catch the ball, or the Michigan punt returner went to catch the ball, and it just went right between his arms, between the elbows, and Quandarius was able to pick that up. That was the play that preceded, that led to the series where McClellan had his touchdown run in the, what was that, in the first half. So that's a rundown. Alabama offense, defense, special teams. Again, special kudos to the Alabama special teams. They did play championship caliber football on this, on this Monday, on this bowl day. Let's start to look at context. Anytime you lose a game, that's frustrating. When you lose, when you think you're going to achieve a lot more, like a championship, that's frustrating. But I think there's an opportunity for Alabama fans, especially this season. There's been seasons where what I'm going to say next wouldn't be true. But it is especially true this season. This season is almost built around this truth. And I think for the right sort of mindset, as we go to put this season sort of on the shelf, this is the mindset as Alabama fans that we need to have that reflective moment. And when we sort of mentally put it on the shelf, these are some of the tags that we need to attach to this season. There's a concept in goal achievement, and there's a book with the same name, and it speaks to gap versus gain. And sometimes when you focus on the goal, what you really end up doing is fixating on the gap. Let's say you're climbing a mountain and you're into it, and you say, that mountaintop's not getting any closer. I'm extending all of this effort. I'm not getting any closer. And you can, any sort of goal that you would have, you want to drop some weight or you want to pay off debt, you focus on it, and you have so much still left to do that can be demotivating. It's easy in that way to lose focus. You can recapture your focus and motivation and momentum sometimes by pausing, turning around, and seeing how far you've come. Not focusing on the gap, not focusing on the goal, but taking a moment to re-baseline. What is the gain that you've made? How far have you come? You turn around and I can't see base camp anymore, so I have to be closer to the mountaintop. I've already lost 20 pounds, so I have to be closer to my goal. I've already paid off X, whatever the goal is. I've already made this much progress. I must be that much closer to the goal. It's a contextualize. It offers a different sort of perspective in how you're looking at things. And so we can look at the 2023 season and we can say, it sucks losing in the playoffs, and it sucks not winning the national title. We have failed. We didn't achieve our goal. There's still a gap. Or you can turn around and look at the game. Those San Gabriel Mountains and Chamber of Commerce weather are sure a long way from that soggy September day in Tampa. Coming back against Tennessee, doing it again against LSU, 4th-and-31, beating Georgia to end their winning streak while claiming another SEC championship. Those things sure stoke my passion for the game and this 2023 Alabama Crimson Tide squad. Yes, we lost in the playoffs. In the playoffs, Florida State is suing their mama for not making the playoffs. This Alabama team got to go. That game starts to sound like an all-timer season when it's looked at in that context. And that is the context, friends, we need to have for the 2023 season. Saban is spot on. He is looking at gain versus gap when he says this may go down as one of my favorites because of how far this team came. As a coach, it's about improving your players, making them better players, making them better people, and the progress they make. Of course you want to win games, but the progress you make is also a measure. And this team has had more progress than most teams that Alabama has fielded. And Saban has said this may be one of his favorite teams. He's looking at the gain as opposed to fixating on the gap. And again, that's the appropriate context we should take as fans as we sort of mentally catalog and characterize this season, put it on the shelf. That's the context. Those are the tags we need to place on that box. Roll Tide, friends. Roll Tide.
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.